Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely blessed day today. And be sure to be praying again for everybody out there in Oklahoma and Texas as they're kind of cleaning up after everything that's been going on out in the Midwest. And what's interesting I find right now, I want to bring this up real quick. I mean, I told you guys, California's getting this huge rainstorm they have continuously coming in and in and in. Central United States, Midwest, is getting just deluged with all these storms, tornadoes, weird stuff out of the blue. Now, at the same time, Florida, which in May right now is usually the beginning of the rainy season, we're May 22nd right now, we're about to go into June. Generally by now, we're getting storms sometimes in the morning, pretty much every single day at 3 to 4 to 5 o'clock for about an hour or two every day at this point in time. As of right now, we've only had like three showers this entire month. I looked at the weather forecast for the rest of the week, and it's supposed to be completely sunny, you know, 92, 93 degrees for pretty much the next 5 to 7 days. Now, I'm not complaining. Florida's nice. It's really hot, but I mean, it's been nice weather right now. But it's very strange that we have, like, low humidity, no rain whatsoever down here, and it's extremely hot while the Midwest is literally getting drenched. That being said, that goes back into what I was talking about. Are we seeing weather modification at its finest to stifle the food production? I got an email yesterday from a really good listener and customer, Zach, who's a farmer out in Ohio. Now, if you guys remember, I quoted him in an email he sent me about 6 months ago where he described how they grow food in Ohio, which pretty much is Monsanto funded and driven. He said it's virtually impossible to make any type of a living selling regular crops or organic crops up there because Monsanto bundles everything, whether it be the fertilizer, whether it be the tractors, whether it be the seeds. They put all of it in a substantial discount with one another. So the only way to make any type of money to get decent deals is you pretty much have to grow Monsanto seeds. He sent me an email, and I'll read it to you guys right now. He said, we farm around 800 acres of Monsanto's finest. If you remember, I emailed you a while back, we're basically farming Roundup Welfare. As he referred to it back last year, it was, they basically are growing plastic. He said, here in central Ohio, we have about 10% planted. That is it. Due to the recent rain, we expect half of it to actually even make it at that. Insurance cutoff is June 5th. That gets us insurance on the acres we did not plant. We're now preparing for that because it will actually pay more than planting this late. Fields are still fully flooded in most cases, and we expect more rain this week. Most farmers around us are at 0% planted. They haven't even made it out to the field because of the standing water. Things are extremely weird right now, and I expect them to go hot, unfortunately. Too many unstable people, and once this economy collapses, it will be ugly. And that's taking into a fact that once we start seeing a food shortage in the United States with 330 plus million starving people, you're going to start seeing an economic collapse like the United States has never witnessed before. Because remember, even in the Civil War, even when they ran through and Sherman's marched to the sea and they took through and burned a lot of the crops through Atlanta and tore up the railroad tracks, there was still agricultural farming everywhere in the South. If you didn't have the ability to transport it, you could at least eat in most cases. If not, you could take a horse over to a neighboring area and try to collect food. And the population at the current time of the Civil War was minuscule compared to what it is now. We're now seeing food that's not even going to be grown at all this year. And remember, I'm not a proponent of corn, especially by Monsanto, but understand how much stuff is used with corn, whether it be the high fructose corn syrup, whether it be the corn starch, whether it be the corn ethanol that they put in the fuel. If corn is not prevalent and all this stuff becomes incredibly difficult to get, we are going to see an incredibly high demand, which in turn is going to increase the price of everything involving corn and any other food surrounding that. So I just wanted to throw that out there firsthand, again, to reiterate the fact, everybody needs to stay well prepared right now. I can't say that any more clear, Deb.
You know, Austin, people don't understand how many products, you know, or a combination of farm products, you know, and commodities. And corn happens to be one of those staple items that people use a lot of in a lot of different products. You know, and don't get me wrong, I'm like you, I don't like corn. Monsanto's ready-made Roundup corn is like poison. It's like a pesticide. It's probably one of the worst things you could ever put into your body. Problem is, it's in everything. And when everything doesn't get it, then all these different food prices start going through the roof and we start having massive shortages. G. Edward Griffin came out last year, 2 years ago, and he's the one who wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island. He came out and said the primary reason for the geoengineering had nothing to do with, you know, 5G technology. He said that's all secondary stuff from it. He said the primary thing is food production control. They want to starve us. They want to kill the planet. They want to destroy as many people as they possibly can through starvation. And again, what's the easiest way? I mean, if you start cutting people's food out, they start fighting. They start infighting. You know, everybody starts fighting over a loaf of bread. And if that happens, then you're going to have an easy way to precipitate a civil war or the invasion of the United States. You know, the problem is the world is run by a bunch of lunatic, fanatic religion weirdos. And, you know, and I'm talking Satanists now. And it's what people don't understand, and when you understand who these people are and what they believe and how and the world is run by these clowns, you start to understand that they're a hysterical cult, okay? And they run society. And, you know, and they're going to do anything they can to get what they want. You know, it's interesting to me. You know, I mean, we've got, you know, federal emergency declared at the border. You know, we've had emergency funding of $1.5 billion for the wall. And, you know, and here we are right this morning from BNN Bloomberg. It just says politics. It says that the U.S. federal wall funding of the U.S. of $1.757 billion has yielded so far 1.7 miles of fence. There's no wall. It's a fence. U.S. Customs and Border Protection has put up just 1.7 miles of fencing with the U.S. $1.7 billion. I mean, that's just unbelievable how this is happening. It says that, you know, we've got all kinds of problems with all of this stuff trying to block the funds, including Sierra Club, as far as saying it's going to impinge on the, you know, on the tortoises and the animals and their freedom, the movement freely and unmolested on their way. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's all of this stuff is getting blocked, which is exactly what we knew would happen. You know, and now with a national emergency, it shouldn't make any difference. It should be able to get put up, but it's not going to get put up. Because they don't want it to be put up, because it's one of those things they want to continue to degrade the population. You know, it's another thing that we got to look at. We got to look at another article here. Evan Horowitz, he did an article and it said, IQ rates are dropping in many developed countries and that doesn't bode well for humanity. An intelligence crisis could undermine our problem-solving capacities and dim the prospects of the global economy. Now, he just wrote this and he said basically people are getting dumber. And he says, that's not a judgment, it's a global fact. In a host of leading nation, IQ scores have started to decline. Though there are some legitimate questions about the relation between IQ and intelligence, the broad recognition that success depends as much on other virtues like grit, IQ tests in use throughout the world today really do seem to capture something meaningful and durable. Decades of research have shown that individual IQ scores predict things such as educational achievement and longevity. More broadly, the average IQ score of a country is linked to economic growth and scientific innovation. I'm going to repeat that last sentence. More broadly, the average IQ score of a country is linked to economic growth and scientific innovation. Now, think through with me for a second. And I've said this, and I've gotten just absolutely chewed up on social media because of this. The Somalians, according to the research, have an average IQ score of 59. I mean, that's like, I know autistic children who have higher IQ scores than this. I know Down's children who have higher IQ scores than this. Now, think through that with me for a second. If you're breeding a 59, let's make it easy for math. If you take a person with a 50 IQ and you breed them with a person with a 100 IQ, genetically, you're going to have a person with about a 75 IQ. And you say, well, it doesn't always work that way. No, it doesn't always work that way. But we're looking at the grand scheme of things here with the general population of millions of people breeding. You can't continue to drop the IQ scores with fluoride and GMO foods and all the things that do this and incessantly breeding with other generations and populations of people that have lived in hovels. I mean, think for a second. If you have a person coming in from Somalia, you can't teach them how to flush a toilet or how to sit on a toilet. They're pooping in the street in downtown Paris. You know, why in the world do you think that person is going to be an innovator of science and technology? Why do you think that person is going to be somebody who you can actually look forward to as far as a leadership, from a leadership standpoint? And see, and this is the problem that we run into, is that nobody wants to talk about these issues. This is politically incorrect. You can't talk about this, Ted. Well, who's going to talk about it? My gosh, we've breached every topic there is to breach on this show. There's nothing else left to breach. I mean, we might as well keep talking about this because nobody else seems to want to touch it. And so we have a problem with this. Look at the African countries. Look at the average IQ scores. I'm not saying that all African countries are bad. I'm not saying that. But a lot of these guys are still living in mud huts. I was in Kenya a few years ago, and we went out to an African village. And we actually went – it was out into the Masai Murai, and we actually met with the people from the Maasai villages. And they literally had homes they were sleeping in that were made out of cattle dung, cattle poop, okay, dung. They piled it up, put a little roof on it, and it was a cattle dung house, okay? This is we're in the 2000s as far as years. They're living in a cattle dung house. They're still drinking blood out of cows. I mean, think about this for a second, okay? What are they going to do as far as what are they going to bring to Western culture? I mean, where have they come in 2,000 years? What have they done? It's the European work ethic that changed everything from Europe. You say, well, now you're being racist. No, I'm not being racist. I'm just giving you the facts, all right? Europe was colonized and cultivated through Roman ingenuity and German ingenuity and British ingenuity and all the different people that came into the European areas. And we had a cultural renaissance, and a lot of it had to do with IQ scores. And I've talked to you guys so many times about this. If you want to destroy a country, you destroy the birth rate and you destroy the IQ scores. And you create a mestizo race of people who basically don't know what to do or how to think or how to live. And they are just followers. If you say, come over here, we've got a FEMA camp set up, we've got bread and water for you to feed, to eat, people are going to go by there. But what you're going to have to do is leave your guns when you come in. We're going to burn you through a metal detector. And everybody's going to be in Austin. If they get hungry enough, they're going to do it. And this is what's happening. You know, we've got a group of politicians in Washington, D.C. It's not just Trump alone who've been trained in the Delphi technique. This has been going on for 70 years now. And people have been taught by groupthink how not to think and how to follow the masses. I mean, we've done experiments in science where you have a person sitting there administering electric shock to people that are in a studio, not realizing the entire thing is set up as a science project and no electrical shocks are being administered, and that person is pressed by that professor to continue to increase the level of shock to the person, knowing that if they go to a certain point, that person is going to die, and they will turn the meter all the way up, and they will hit them with a shock that could potentially kill them because they're being told to do that. Now, I would just tell the person, whatever, man. You push the button. You're nuts, man. I'm leaving here. You guys are nutsoid. But this is all part of the MKUltra protocol. This is all part of the OSS. This is all part of the CIA. This is all part of the Frankfurt School. We've been trained as a group of Pavlovian dogs now in the United States to believe everything we see and hear in the media and to drink the fluoride, not to question mainstream medicine or mainstream science. And we have to understand we have to stop being like this, and we've got to realize that these people that are running the planet basically are nuts. They really, really are nuts. Let me give you an example. Look at how Coca-Cola controls and manipulates research to make people believe what they say from the major universities. The FOI, Freedom of Information Act documents obtained by the U.S. Right to Know show that Coca-Cola's research agreements, listen, with certain universities give it the right to review and comment on those studies before they're allowed to be public have become publication, and the intellectual property rights are connected to the research. In other words, if Coca-Cola doesn't like what the research says, they simply stop the research from being published. The research contracts also give Coca-Cola control over the study data, disclosure of the results, and acknowledgement of Coca-Cola funding, meaning the company could prevent the researchers from disclosing that their funding came from Coke, as well as the power to terminate studies early without having to give a simple reason. Earlier this year, another batch of emails obtained from the Freedom of Information request revealed Coca-Cola lobbied the CDC to advance corporate objectives over health. Isn't that what they always do? And now, former CDC official provides aid and guidance to Coca-Cola in efforts to influence World Health Organization officials, which is another Rothschild organization, by the way, into relaxing its sugar limits. A recent study Coke-founded study concluded that children with the highest odds of obesity got the least amount of physical activity on both weekends and weekends, and children with the lowest odds of obesity were the most active throughout the whole week. Let me add one more thing, and drank less sodas. But they're not going to tell you that. I mean, multiple research facilities now have gotten into trouble and gotten fined because they manipulated data. Why? Because they knew if they got busted for manipulating the data that somebody was going to be giving them some really, really, really bad publicity. Also, look at the stuff going on with fluoride. It continues to mount. Research linking fluoridation with long-term side effects continues to mount. with undeniable evidence of fluoride's neurotoxicity published as in the FAN's historical trial with the EPA Dry Schools Closer. Fluoridation overfeed in Sandy, Utah sickens hundreds of residents and is the only one of over 50 reported fluoridated incidents in 2000. Campaign momentum is building as FAN launches an effort to warn women to avoid fluoride exposure during pregnancy and releases additional education members to the public. This is the Fluoride Action Network, by the way. I apologize. I should have explained that to start with. And guys, remember, when you drink fluorinated water when you're pregnant, you're going to lower the IQ of your child, period. If you give that baby formula, which you shouldn't do anyhow, and that baby has fluoride in the formula, you're going to lower its IQ score. And it's just something that you have to get. That's important that we all do that. Now, Austin, I've got one of our listeners called up, and they've got a three-year-old, and they were kind of curious as to what you were giving Hunter as far as supplements. Their child has a little bit slower speech development, and they're concerned about what vitamins to give, you know, their child, who's about the same age as Hunter. What do you and Lana give Hunter as far as supplements? I know you give him the powdered multiple, the magnesium brain food. I know he gets omega-3 oils. What else does he get as far as a three-year-old to stay as healthy as he does? Do you have any idea, or is that something I should ask Lana or Sharon?
No, I'm actively involved in it. I mean, I keep it pretty simplistic. Yeah, the magnesium brain food and the ultimate multiple powder all mix in with some of his waters, like in his sippy cup. Or sometimes I'll just give him the ultimate multiple chewable, depending on how the day's going. Obviously, if you have kids, a three-year-old, you understand how everything has to pretty much stay flexible on a regular basis. And also, too, the liquid vitamin D3, we generally give him a little bit extra of that in the dropper form. And also the cod liver oil, the children's strawberry cod liver oil. That's a formula that's really good. We just take like a little teaspoon of it and give it to them usually once a day, once every other day, depending on how, you know, what's going on again. So that's a really important one. And that's pretty much it. I mean, we keep it pretty simplistic. That covers, you know, your B vitamins and your multiple, either with the chewable or the powder. The magnesium powder, that's a standalone right there in importance. Then you have your D3 as far as you can add in a little bit. And a lot of times what I'll do is to make it simplistic, if I take like a little teaspoon of the cod liver oil that he's going to take. The strawberry tastes pretty good, by the way. The children's cod liver oil we have, I've taken it multiple times, and it tastes pretty good. You can put a couple drops of the D3 liquid just right on top of the tablespoon, and that way you knock it out all in one swing. Other than that, I keep it simplistic. He stays healthy with that, stays sharp with that, and that's really covering all your bases. At this age, you don't have to go absolutely berserk with it as far as what you're looking at is supplementation. Keep it simplistic, and of course, keep the diet clean. Stay away from all the high fructose corn syrup, the food coloring, the excessive amounts of sugar, and you know, that pretty much sums it up, man.
Well, also, we really need to emphasize that organic food is it. I mean, you can't. I've got a friend of mine from college, and I talked to her today. They've been very, very sick, her whole family sick, and I emphasized to her, I said, you know, you've got to eat organic. I said, it's not even a choice anymore because of the glyphosate. I said, you got to do it. I said, because the glyphosate destroys that gut lining. And when you have that gut lining messed up, you can't absorb your nutrients like you need to. And plus, it blocks specific nutrients from being absorbed. And she said, well, my family doesn't like to eat organic, and they don't want to listen. And I'm like, well, you got to lead by example on this one. You're going to have to start eating organic, and they'll see the results with you and how your health is going to improve. She's having all kinds of health issues. And, guys, this is the thing that I've seen with my life, okay? I'm 63 years old. I feel great. I don't take any meds. But thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that I have that. You know, that I can make that testimonial for you guys here. I'm not on a high blood pressure medicine. All my body parts still function properly. Let me put it that way. As far as a G-rated show, everything still works. And you know what's frustrating to me is I've got so many of my friends, Austin. They're on a plethora of medication. I had one of my friends came to a class reunion, our 45th class reunion last summer, and I thought he was drunk. And in fact, I asked one of his cousins. I said, "Was so and so drunk at the doggone reunion?" He goes, "No, man. He's on psychiatric meds. He's been like put into the hospital like 25 times in the last 2 years into the emergency room with basically panic disorders. And he's on all these medications. And he told me that they were trying to change his psychiatric medications, and it made him appear as though he was drunk, but he hadn't had any alcohol. I mean, guys, these people are my age. They're old." You know, I mean, they're old. I mean, I don't even like being around them because they're so old. It's just awful. And you think, well, come on, Ted. Well, no, I'm not kidding. I mean, to me, if it's like I told my friends, Austin, when I was your age, and even back in high school and back in college, I said, man, I'm not going to eat like that because I was an athlete. I said, you can't eat like that and be healthy. They're, oh, you're fine, blah, blah, blah. And I said, look, dude, I said, when I'm 65 years old or 63 years old or 60 years old or 50 years old, I'm planning on still being active. And see, and I'm not trying to be boastful. I'm not doing that at all. Please forgive me if it comes across like that, because I'm not. I'm grateful to God Almighty for my life and the things that I've done and what I've learned. But guys, there are certain things, like eating organic for you, your children, your grandchildren. You don't have an option anymore. I mean, stop going to restaurants. Save the money you're spending in the restaurants. Buy bulk organic. Don't buy the organic processed food. It's too expensive. You just buy, you know, just get some organic chicken. You can fry it up. You can pan fry it. You know, put it in some avocado oil. We had that last night. It's unbelievably good. And you don't have to eat nasty tasting food. Stay away from margarine. Stay away from hydrogenated oil. Pretty much stay away from all corn products unless it's organic. And even nowadays, Austin, I'm kind of sketchy about corn being organic, because how do you know it hasn't been cross contaminated with Monsanto's pollen from 5 miles away with a Roundup Ready garbage food they're trying to feed everybody? Anyhow, I've talked enough. Go ahead with your next story, bud.
Yeah, no, that's there's no doubt about it. I try not to eat really any corn at all, especially never out when I eat restaurants. And the thing that you guys have to look at it like this, pretty much the way Lan and I have got down to it, is we'll go out to eat dinner on a rare occasion, but we do it for like a specific occasion. Like, you know, we'll have somebody that ends up watching the kids or get a babysitter, and we'll go out for a nice date, or we'll go see a movie, or we'll go out and eat dinner. And we try to go to a pretty high-end restaurant where I know what they cook, I know the owners, or I know, you know, what products they're bringing in. They know what they're cooking. They're proud of the quality they're cooking. And at that point in time, you're going to get a lot better quality food. You go to chain stores like, you know, Applebee's or Chili's. I'm not saying those places are bad places, but what I'm saying is those are bulk, cheap, processed food stores, restaurants. That's what they chop out. They look at the bottom line dollar, the exact amount of money that they're spending every month on food. They go and look at the cheapest food they can buy in bulk, whether it be their tortillas, whether it be their chicken, whether it be their cheese. Everything is mass bulk purchased. So they don't look at it and say, no, I want to make sure I get salmon that is basically wild caught, or I want to get this broccoli from a local organic farmer. And there's some restaurants like that. There's multiple ones that I've gone to now that, you know, they may not be fully organic, but they're starting to go that way. They're very, very, very cognitive of wanting to get very clean, high-quality foods. That's if you're going to go out, go to a restaurant like that, enjoy yourself, feel good after you get done eating. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to restaurants and eaten something, and the way I eat now, I'll feel like garbage 30 minutes after I eat food. Brain fog, can't focus, no energy, stomach's upset, and I'm like, oh, man, I got my monthly dose of glyphosate after that. This is horrible. And you wish you didn't even eat there. You wish you didn't spend the money on it. Why go through all that? You know, if you're going to spend the money and you're going to go out and enjoy it and do something that's going to feed your body. That's a concept that a lot of people don't grasp. And it's a concept that even I never grasped until I really got into weight training and health and nutrition in my early 20s. And food isn't supposed to be designed to be here to make us all happy. That's kind of the irony about a lot of it. A lot of people eat because, oh, this food makes me happy. I eat this food because it makes me happy. I eat this food because I enjoy it. I'm not saying you can't enjoy your food. I'm not saying you have to eat food that tastes like cardboard all the time. But everybody, in order to start going back to a healthy-based lifestyle, you have to start realizing you're eating food for fuel. That's the primary designation of food. You're not eating it because you want to be happy about the food you're eating and the taste. The taste of the food is only a moment. It is only a split few minutes while you are eating and chewing the food. When it goes to your stomach and it starts digesting and it starts processing and it goes to small intestines and your body starts taking nutrients out of it, hours upon hours upon hours, that food is in your body. Your body is absorbing every last bit of nutrient it can get out of it, or it's trying to process every bit of toxin that it's being absorbed from that food. So you have to understand that the food, the flavor, the taste, the excitement, the pleasure is only for a moment's notice. And again, I'm not telling people you need to eat everything and it needs to taste like organic cardboard nonstop. This is why we did the Eat Clean and Be Healthy cookbook, because we worked with our different organic foods for years and all kinds of recipes that we've all created, from me to mom to Sharon to Lana to dad, all of us, Harrison, and we got different recipes from one another that we found worked good, and we implemented them so you can actually eat organic food that tastes decent. In most cases, tastes pretty good. But that is a concept that the American population has never grasped in the last 30 to 40 years, is that everything we eat has to be for pleasure, has to be for the moment's pleasure right now. I'm eating because it tastes really good. I like it because I'm getting an endorphin high because of the 200 carbohydrates that I'm eating in this one meal. And then everybody wonders why we're constantly fixed on this immediate pleasure sensor all the time. We have to constantly be entertained by our food and by our drinks and by our beverages and by our phones all the time. That is the society that we've gotten into now. And until we can back out of that, at least partially, and go back to realizing food is fuel. You don't go to the gas station and say, I gotta test this 93 octane out of my mouth. I gotta see if it tastes clean. I wanna make sure, you know, this is gonna taste good. No, you don't. If you've got a nice car, you got a good engine, you're like, no, I want 93 because I know it's gonna make my vehicle run better, it's gonna handle better, it's gonna run cleaner, and it's gonna be running longer. So I'm gonna put 93 octane in it. And you don't even think about it because that's the fuel that makes your vehicle run best. Why do we do anything different with our bodies that we're dealing with our entire life? Most people have numerous cars their entire lifetime. We only get one body. Yet we're so concerned about how the food tastes for the 5 minutes we're eating it that we don't even bother to think about what it's actually doing to our body over a lifetime, whether helping us or whether hurting us. So it's just something I want to add in there. Also, too, in other magnesium news, this is so important because they're actually starting to find out that magnesium plays a crucial role in blood sugar. Imagine that. Experts are now believing that magnesium deficiencies are behind the growing rate of diabetes in the world. Nearly half of Americans are low in magnesium, and that figure rises to around 80% when you look at those over 70. Diabetes and magnesium deficiency are often going hand in hand now. Magnesium is a mineral that helps to metabolize your insulin and blood glucose, and it plays an important role in more than 300 of your body's critical functions. This is crucial. This is one of the reasons why we have two different forms of magnesium. We have one, the magnesium brain food, which is magnesium malate acid, and also the magnesium cyanate, which is designed to go through the blood-brain barrier. Bathes your brain down in magnesium. That by far, is probably one of the best-selling, most effective products we have on our website. I get so much feedback on that product, all the way to muscle cramps, reducing muscle cramps, to reducing sugar cravings, to helping with energy, to helping reduce brain fog. I mean, it's everything. And then if you just want standard magnesium, we have the magnesium and malate acid in capsule form as well. But they go on to say here, this study, which is actually done in Israel by researchers published in the Journal of Nutrients, found that people who took 250 milligrams of magnesium supplements daily for 3 months enjoyed decreased insulin resistance. Their insulin sensitivity improved by 10%, while their blood sugar dropped by 37%. It also causes their A1C levels to drop. Meanwhile, another recent study from Harvard University scientists that involved more than 17,000 people with type 2 diabetes spanning nearly 30 years found that people's risk of diabetes dropped by 4% for every extra 50 milligrams per day in magnesium intake they took. They discovered, for example, that those who had the highest intake of magnesium had at least a 15% lower risk of going into developed diabetes than those who had a lower intake of the mineral. Unfortunately, deficiency can be hard to spot because the symptoms can be mistaken for other problems. They include fatigue, weakness, anxiety, insomnia, high blood pressure, you name it. So it's so important that regardless of what you're doing, if you're not taking magnesium as far as a supplemental magnesium and a high-quality magnesium, you more than likely are deficient in magnesium. That's pretty much the way it goes now, because trying to rely on our food base 100% to get all the minerals we're going to get, especially, as I just mentioned, with our taste-based culture that we have now where everything has to taste good or else we don't want to touch it or eat it, the likelihood of people being deficient in magnesium if they're not taking a high-quality magnesium are pretty much 100% in my opinion. And I've seen this now with multiple customers that have gone blood work done. You can get your blood tested for magnesium, and they go, oh, I've eaten really clean, I'm doing really good, I'm getting blood work, I'll get an email back next week. Man, my magnesium levels are in the floor. My D3 levels are in the floor. I didn't think I needed that much. Dude, you're not taking any. You expect to get it out of your food? Well, we got Monsanto running the planet now. Now we're going to have the doggone Midwest flooded with almost zero significant food supply production this year. On top top of everything else that's going on? Yeah. You have to give your body the raw nutrients it needs if you want it to function at peak performance all the time. And it's not too much to ask. Your body is designed to function at peak performance. There's no question about it. It's funny because I saw an article now from John Hopkins Cancer Center who they are now claiming that errors in the DNA copying are now occurring at random. And they're going on to say now that they think two-thirds of all cancer are being caused by random mistakes in DNA copying. Now, what's interesting about this, they said past research has indicated that about 90% of all cancer cases are attributed to diet, lifestyle, and environmental factors. But this new study contradicts those. This team study allegedly found that 95% of prostate, bone, and brain cancer was caused purely by DNA copying errors. The team claims that almost 70% of all cancers were caused by so-called copying errors, and a little over 20 were actually caused by lifestyle. Now, here's the factor in this that Johns Hopkins University is not discussing. A, the fact that epigenetics is now starting to play a role in this population's cancer epidemic. Epigenetics, which refers to changes in gene expression due to external forces, they have done numerous animal models and showed that identical embryos implanted in different mothers can have wildly different gene expressions based on what the mother was fed. This falls in line with Prey's explanation of DNA's errors and mutations, but there's no added emphasis on how you eat and what you eat impacts the enzymes and chemicals currently present in your DNA's environment. We know that food plays a crucial role in what's going on in your body and, in turn, can massively increase your likelihood of cancer. But what we also do know is now we have had an entire generation, almost two generations, that were grown up on basically microwave dinners. Now we're seeing the next generation grown up almost solely on GMO food completely. I mean, almost everything is contaminated with glyphosate now. Even stuff that's natural, even some stuff that's organic, is still having a very, very, very small exposure to glyphosate. Very small in most cases, but it's some nonetheless. Whereas the stuff that we're not seeing organic, that's full GMO, the levels of glyphosate are off the chart. I read you guys the 15 stores, remember last a couple weeks ago. You could back and listen to it. Different chain restaurants that were testing 200-400 parts per million for glyphosate for one piece of pizza tested. That's how bad it is, especially in the bread now. So now what they're seeing with Johns Hopkins, and when they're not possibly explaining the entire reasoning behind this, which is irritating to me, but we're seeing now that people are starting to have cancer based on essentially their DNA copying, but they're not telling you why. They're just saying it's by random. It's not by random. It's that the parents are being eating so much glyphosate, so many pesticides, so many herbicides, so many different vaccine injections that make no difference at all as far as on actually preventing these diseases from occurring. We've seen that now. That now we're starting to see the gene expression from the next generation come down with cancer, and they're not even knowing whether or not it's fully diet or fully gene expression for epigenetics. In my opinion, it is both. That is why it's so crucial, not just for your current health, but for your children's health, your next family's health, on what you eat right now. Because as we have seen now, it is not even a question or an argument anymore. What you eat isn't just affecting you, it's affecting your offspring that you may later have down the road, Dad.
You know, often it's been shown, you know, if a group of population two generations ago, they're gone or dead now, if they had certain deficiencies in their diet that caused certain types of health issues from an epigenetic standpoint, it was transmitted down into their family. I mean, we have just started to scratch the surface. Well, we haven't really. We're a lot further along than what we say we are as far as looking at epigenetics. They know now that frequency basically causes a lot of different issues as far as what you're exposed to, as far as being in an electrical field here on this planet. They know that. They know that what you eat now is going to affect your later generations. I mean, so you could literally affect your grandbaby's health by how you eat and what you have as far as right now and what you're eating if you're pregnant. So it's so important to understand that if we're going to be dealing with multi-generational problems based upon what we're putting into our bodies for 9 months, let's eat clean. Let's eat clean. If we get pregnant, let's eat clean. And you know, you can tell I've had four kids. I say if when we get pregnant, because it's a family affair when you get pregnant, let me tell you. And so it's just one of those things that everybody's got to think through. That, you know, I had one lady one time, I'll never forget this, and she was in the office, and and she was having all these health issues, and her kids were having all these health issues, and I told her, she goes, well, eating clean is such a hassle. I don't like to eat clean. I don't want to eat organic. I don't want to eat healthy foods. I don't like it. The kids don't like it. It's a hassle. And I looked at her and I said, your life is a hassle. I said, your kids are sick all the time. You're sick all the time. They're in and out of the doctor's offices, in and out of infections, in and out of antibiotics. I said, what the heck? I said, you think eating healthy is a hassle? I said, your whole lifestyle that you've chosen for yourself is a hassle. And see, and that's how I've looked at life over the years. I realize that sometimes that, you know, when we eat things and do things certain ways, you know, we have to prepare in advance and we have to think through what we're doing. But it's not a hassle if it prevents all types of heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. You want to find out what a hassle is? Have them tell you that your three-year-old is going to be put on chemotherapy, or you're going to go to jail, or they're going to take the custody of that child away. Oh yeah, they do that kind of stuff too. The FDA and their tyranny, and the what they do with the AMA. I mean, it's unbelievable the stuff that we're subjected to. I mean, the best thing you can do, and I'm going to be honest with you guys, is to eat clean, be healthy, take your supplements, and avoid medical care as much as possible, unless you have some type of traumatic injury or some type of serious health condition has to be fixed. I don't do a routine annual physical. Now, I'm not suggesting that you don't. That's up to you. I don't do it. Why is that? Because what are they going to tell me that I don't already know? My blood pressure is perfect. My cholesterol is going to be 20 points too high. It's going to be 220 to 250. They're going to say, oh, your cholesterol. I don't care if they tell me that. I could care less because I'm not going to mess with it. Your body will pretty much take care of itself if you give it the right nutrients and the right food. If you don't, it's going to be a problem. I had one other lady call me years ago. She'd order all of our CDs and tapes, and she called up the office. This is 25 years ago. And I told her, I said, oh, there's a lot of information. She goes, I got to learn more. She goes, yeah. She said, I just spent $250,000 on my husband to have, you know, cardiac bypass surgery. She goes, we had no idea. We had no idea that the food he was eating was this bad and the supplements that he was taking was this bad. I mean, we didn't know that you can't eat, take a bunch of supplements with calcium carbonate in them. He says, all of our supplements have calcium carbonate in them. She goes, we didn't know that could actually increase the risk of heart disease. I said, yeah. And I said, there's certain things you don't know. She goes, no, I'm looking forward to going through your entire home study course because we want to make sure we know how to eat right, because if we don't, you know, we may be back in having bypass surgery again. You know, she's absolutely right, by the way. Oh, by the way, here's another article came out from the LA Times, and it says the world could soon face a population bust. Now, that's because of what we've talked about today, because of the glyphosate, because of the weather modification, because of the Gardasil shot, but they don't discuss any of that in here. It goes on to say, an Indian woman coming of age in 1960 would have had typically six children, according to the United Nations data. Today, Indian women have just two children on the average. It's a shift with profound implications. But what they don't talk about is a lot of these women still want to have six children, but they can't. Here's another article. The EPA is meant to protect us. They don't. Monsanto trials suggest it isn't doing that. Ever since Monsanto introduced its line of Roundup weed killers to the world in 1974, the products have been touted by the company and regulators as extremely safe, including the FDA. But the emergence of long-held corporate secrets linking dozens of types of cancers to the exposure to Roundup has been exposed in three public top trials, has revealed a covert campaign to cover up the pesticides' risks and raise troubling questions about tax oversight of all pesticides. Lax oversight of all pesticides by the EPA and other regulatory agencies. Two recently concluded Roundup product liability trials in California resulted in large damage awards against Monsanto. But the EPA still says it's safe, regardless of the dozens of links from Monsanto's own research proving that it causes cancer. Why? Bought and paid for. Another one. Cancer-causing chemicals manufactured by 3M are turning up in the drinking water. This is crazy. This is the PFOAs and the PFOSs and how they basically cause all of these health problems and brain problems. These are these polyfluoroalkyl substances, or PFASs. And this is the kind of same stuff that they make a lot of this nonstick cookware out of. And here we have all of this stuff coming in all over the country now. In fact, it's now showing up and polluting breast milk around the world because it's being sprayed and being used in so many different compounds. And we knew about this stuff, and we knew about the dangers of the PFOAs decades ago. The internal documents show, but yet they still continue to manufacture these products. Internal documents show that 3M hid these dangers for decades and didn't let the people know what was going on. Guys, this is the way it is in the world. That's why we do our best here with the Ted and Austin Brewer Show to tell you the latest world news and health research. Why? Because we want to be those guys. I have people say, well, you guys do too much health stuff. We do too much health stuff. Some days we forget to talk about any health stuff. You know, it's so funny, Austin. We do our best I mean, hours and hours and hours of research every single day. It takes so much time to get these shows prepped. You know, you say, well, they flow so well and they're so informative. Yeah, because it takes hours. I had Joyce Riley one time. I was doing her show on the Power Hours. I was basically a sub-host for her while she was having cancer before she died. And I remember she said to me, she goes, well, how much time are you spending prepping for the show? I said, about 5 hours. And she goes, why do you spend that much time? I said, because I'm going to do a really good job at it. You know, it's one of those things that there's a plethora of stories that come out every day. A lot of those we can't cover, and we put them on the Health Masters news site. In fact, I just posted a bunch of stuff up there about the Frankfurt School. But I can't cover all that stuff on the show. That's why I really like it when you guys go to the news site and you email me and you say, hey, I got the story off your news site. I wish you could have covered this on the show. Then I go back and I cover it on the show. It's so important that we all work together. Guys, this may be the Ted and Austin Brewer show as far as us being on the air together. But this is all of us together on this. We're like a voice of reason that's trying to go out among troubled masses to tell you guys what's going on to the best of our ability. And thank you for your support and your direction. So many of you send me additional health stories and additional news stories that we try to cover on the show, or at least post to the article site, because I want you guys to know we're in this thing together. I mean, if we can do this show, and we've been doing it for many years now with a huge audience base, you know, you can – help us by sending us articles, sending us information. If you see something that we say that's not 100% right, if you want to send us something that'll show that we're wrong, I'll issue a retraction. You guys have heard me do that. But I'm doing the best I possibly can, and so is Austin, to tell you guys what's really going on, and then you got to ask yourself, is that okay? We have to realize. I mean, we have major West Coast cities now. They're being overwhelmed by rats, by crime, by piles of feces and hordes of homeless people, and yet we're still bringing them in by the hundreds of thousands, by the millions every year. I mean, look at the rat-infested piles of rotting garbage left uncollected in the city of Los Angeles, even after promises to clean it up. They're fueling concerns about new epidemic of last year's record flea-borne typhus in L.A. And, you know, even the city's most notorious trash pile located between downtown L.A.'s busy fashion and produce districts continues to be a magnet for rats after it was cleaned up months ago. The rodents can carry typhus-infected fleas, which can spread the disease to humans through bacteria rubbed into the eyes or cuts and scrapes on the skin, resulting in severe flu-like symptoms. Typhus is one of the primary things that killed so many people in the concentration camps in Germany during the war. They were living in very bad conditions, and when they ran out of water or ran out of food because of the bombing of the Allies and the bombing of the railroads and the railways, the intention wasn't to kill everybody in concentration camps. They were slave labor camps. We have to understand that. But the problem was, if you can't feed the people properly and keep them housed properly and have proper hygiene for these people, and you have them live in squalor like this, like they're doing in L.A. right now, L.A.'s turning into a giant concentration camp in some areas with these tent cities. They have no running water, friends. They don't have any sewage. They don't have toilets and tents. And it's that bad, and we're still bringing in migrants by the millions while Nero fiddles and watches the country burn. Just thought I'd mention that. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, also, too, you know, as you're talking about this crazy influx of migrants that we're seeing now, you guys recall yesterday on the show, I went into detail on Minneapolis, as far as Minnesota, Dearborn, Michigan, areas that are going full-blown Sharia law by the influx of primarily a lot of Somalians now that we're seeing up there. Remember, Minneapolis is the same city where the unbelievably inept moron Somalian was given a badge and a gun and said, go protect the community, and executes an unarmed civilian, actually an Australian native who's in the United States, when she calls the cops, runs outside in her pajamas with a phone, says there's somebody basically in the alleyway, comes up to the police vehicle to tell them what's going on. This Somalian in the passenger seat reaches over the driver's side, the driver's window she's at, draws his weapon and shoots her twice in the chest. And good thing is, I mean, sad part is she died. I mean, that was horrific. Good thing is, this guy's basically going to prison now, which, I mean, if that didn't go down, I don't know what would have. I mean, you can't even begin to try to justify that. Well, of course, that was Minnesota. Well, now, a week and a half ago, by the way, this has gotten like zero coverage at all. A week and a half ago, a group of 10 Somalian teenagers in Minneapolis became armed with hammers and pipes and began attacking and injuring people on the rail station in Minnesota last Friday night. In Minneapolis Police Department dispatched on audio, a group of 8 to 10 males chasing people with hammers. We need dispatch immediately. The attack occurred at the East Bank Light Rail Station right beside the University of Minnesota. The University of Minnesota. Doggone university. Witnesses said it was a large group of Somalian males with hammers and bars. He said they were attacking anyone who looked like they had money or were white, ironically enough. The incident took place on Friday, May 17th, and has yet to receive any coverage whatsoever on any mainstream news outlet. The district that this happened in happens to be run by the unbelievably hardcore Sharia law Muslim, Ilhan Omar, the Congress lady we have now, who, I might add, she is a enemy of the United States. I'll put that right now. She is full-blown Trojan horse from the Muslim community to do the best she can to subvert our United States Christian culture and bring in Sharia law. I'm telling you that right now. There's no back and forth smoke and mirrors with her. She is a full-blown hardcore Islamic Sharia law pusher, and this is the district that she represents. This is where this happened, and it's ironic because just last year, even Fox News labeled this area the terrorist recruitment capital of the United States in Minneapolis, Minnesota. That is what we have in the United States now, and that is what has been given by these unbelievably hardcore communists that are doing everything they can to subvert the culture of the United States, bring down Christianity, and at the same time bring down the entire economy. Also, too, speaking of economy, I thought this was interesting. Everybody that has been looking at vehicles now, I've been looking at this the other day, I've been watching this, the rates and kind of the markets, you guys know I watch the markets a lot on here, this auto loan delinquencies are becoming a serious issue again. 90 days or more past due has jumped to almost 5% of outstanding auto loans in the first quarter of 19. This puts the auto loan delinquency rates at the highest level since 2010. Now, what a lot of people aren't talking about with this is back in 2009, right after the crash, the total amount of auto loans were about $700 billion. That was going into 2009, 2010, when the delinquencies were at an all-time high. There was about $700 billion in outstanding auto loans. Currently, right now, we're just starting to crest $1.3 trillion. In auto loans now. We've literally almost doubled the amount of auto loans in the last 10 years, 9 to 10 years. And yet we are seeing the delinquency rate reach where it was in 2010. So be aware of that. Again, I'm not giving you any financial advice. I'm just telling you, understand what the markets are doing, because also, too, Susan Taylor Martin from the Herald Times out of Tampa just wrote another article as well. She said, Tampa Bay home sellers take note. The steady price gains of the past few years might be coming to an end in the housing market. She said, home values have likely peaked in the Tampa metro area. Home values have fallen in each of the past 2 months and are down quarter over quarter, indicating the start of a long-term trend. That reflected a national trend, with a typical U.S. home showing the first monthly decline in more than 7 years. Other areas where prices have probably peaked include all of California's major cities, as well as Miami, Houston, Boston, Philly, Seattle, Portland, Oregon. These markets are examples of price correction over years of significant home value growth above and beyond the pace of income. The only way to push up the housing market any further is to lower mortgage rates, which I don't know how they can go much lower. They're 3.9. I mean, of course, they can take them down into the low threes or twos if they want to, in order to keep this growth going, which if they do that, if they drop mortgage rates down, you know, 2.9 or something like that, then they'll keep the housing market going for as long as they need to. Houses are taking longer to sell than they did a year ago. Sellers are getting less than their asking price than they did in April 2008. So just be aware of that. Again, not giving any financial advice, I'm just saying what we're seeing now in 19 and 20 and 21 over the next couple years, with everything that's starting to occur, we're starting to see some real volatility in the market right now. So just be aware of that, understand what you're getting into, and don't overextend yourself. I know a lot of people right now are wanting to flip their houses and get into other houses. If you can do that and you're getting good money and you're getting a good deal on another house, by all means, do what's best for you. Again, I'm not giving any financial advice, but be aware of it. because I know a lot of people have looked at houses and they go, you know, oh, I can afford this right now, or the interest rate's low, we can really stretch it out and get into this house right now. Be aware, because once this market starts to go back down, these $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 houses that are at their peak right now aren't going to be worth that again, just like we saw in 2008. For some reason, the United States population has a very, very short-term memory. And so I remember watching everything in 2008, 2009, 2010. I was right smack dab in my early 20s in the middle of it, fresh out of college. So I saw what happened then, and I see exactly what's about to happen again now. So just be aware of what you're getting involved in. Just want to kind of bring that up right now, Deb.
You know, Austin, you're absolutely right about the housing market. Now, it's a hyperinflated mess right now. But real quick, I want to bring up something. This is really, really important. We've got this past week, Daystar TV is a huge multi-billion dollar conglomerate of Christian TV stations and channels in the United States. I know the owners. I've been on the show many, many times, and their facility was basically firebombed in Jerusalem, over there in Italy. It may have been in Tel Aviv, I'm not sure, but it was firebombed and basically burned. Now, this is the same family that basically, you know, stopped their programming one night, and their daughter married a Jewish fellow, and basically they're big time Zionists. And I was reading the article on this burning, and they're saying how it had to be a Muslim who did this. And I'm like, how do you know it wasn't Mossad? How do you know this wasn't somebody? How do you automatically blame it a Muslim? Now, why do you say, well, Ted, why are you saying that? It could have been a Muslim. Yeah, it could have been a Muslim. I don't know who did it. I wasn't there. I haven't watched the videotape. I haven't interviewed the people over there who balls with this. But here's the point. I want to talk about this. And the same thing with the Minnesota laws. You know, the Muslims are being used against us right now as part of a Hegelian dialectic. Now, this ties right back. I want to talk about this today for just a minute because we're almost out of time. I should have taken more time on this today. This is used in controlling modern society. Now, what does that mean? It's by a guy from God named Hegel. And George Woodruff Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel was a 19th century German philosopher who devised a particular dialectic or method of argument for resolving disagreements. His method of arriving at the truth by the exchange of logical arguments is a system of thought process that's still used against us today. To put it simply, the base of Hegelianism dictates that a human mind cannot understand anything unless it is split into polar opposites: good, evil, right, wrong, left, you know, right, left. The example when people are talking about two political parties, labor or liberal, Republican or Democrat, or what they're actually referring to without realizing it, is the thesis and the antithesis, the antithesis based on the Hegelian dialectic. The only real debate that occurs is just of the minor differences between those two parties. Nothing is said or done about the issues that either left or right is discussing. This becomes more apparent when the election draws near. Now, I'm going to bring that right now to the Muslim issue. The New World Order wants a world war, and they want to precipitate it between the Christians and the Muslims and the Jews, the Zionists. This is their goal. This was stated in a letter that had been written by Albert Pike to Manzini back in the 1800s. Pike was one of the top chief commanders of the Masonic lodges in the United States. In fact, he was pardoned by Johnson after the Civil War, and that caused Johnson to get impeached. So we have to understand who these people are and how this hidden hand has ruled us. And remember, the Masonic lodges, this whole thing they do, they're obsessed with rebuilding the Third Temple because their entire philosophy is based in the Kabbalah. And we have to understand who these people are. They want a war. And so what's happening is they put all of these stories into the mainstream media about the Muslims doing this, the Muslims doing that, but it wasn't enough. So they got to start bringing them in with Obama by the millions into the United States and millions into Europe, all over the world, bringing them in by the millions, and they don't have our same values. Same thing with Hispanics. You know, we have a lot of Hispanics that are coming in. They're Catholic, but they don't share the same work ethic and values that we have. They're doing everything, like Austin talked about earlier, to split our society up in the United States and to destroy nationalism, teaching from the Frankfurt School that I've covered with you guys in detail. Now, this is what's happening. All of these groups are based on cultural Marxism. They're all based from that think tank in Germany at Goethe University from the early 30s that left to go to Columbia in 1933. All of this stuff is being used against us because they understand how the human mind and the human psyche works. So it's very important not to allow yourself to become skewed to a certain way of thinking. In other words, if you start hearing somebody say, my way is the right way, ain't no other way. Well, no, wait a minute. If we're talking about Scripture and we're talking about the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you're absolutely right. But a lot of people don't they don't use Scripture. They step out of Scripture and they start making their own personal biases and beliefs basically doctrine. And you can't do that. And so all of this stuff is being used against you. Problem, action, solution. That's what the Hegelian dialectic is. You create a problem, it causes a certain action, and you give the population a solution. The new solution, according to Henry Kissinger, will be when the troops come into Washington or into California, into Los Angeles, and there's rioting in the streets and everything else. Everybody will be welcoming the solution and being ruled by martial law and by the troops, because it will be chaos. Order out of chaos. They're creating the chaos. Always remember that. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. I had the benefit, the privilege to pray for you guys this morning. You guys are so awesome to me. I mean, you guys are – it's such a benefit to me and awesome to be able to pray for you guys. And I mean that very sincerely, because it's a reciprocal relationship with you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being our friends. Thank you so much for supporting Health Masters, getting your supplements through us, and for all the positive feedback you give us. I love you guys. Austin, I'll do the write-up. Go ahead and close her up.
Absolutely, guys. We really do appreciate all the continued support. Thank you for all the emails, and thank you for the articles. I got a lot of customers and a lot of listeners now sending us different articles, different content. It helps us out quite a bit. You know, we're always going through different stuff. I'm talking to different people. I'm getting emails. But feedback when I get from people like Zach in Ohio and stuff like that, we got a lot of people like that that we get information from. And if you don't want me to mention your name, that is absolutely fine. Put that in the email. Say, hey, I want to be anonymous on this. This is just the intel that I have. I get a lot of people to do that as well. They don't want me to mention anything about them. So thank you for the support. Thank you for going out of your way to try to help all of us out and keep this show going. And forward the show, please. If you can, you know, get on the weekly newsletter. It's free. Sign up for it. We send out all kinds of different articles. We're sending out a lot more news articles, a lot more health stuff every single day now, pretty much on a daily basis. We're not only sending the show out, we're sending different news articles that we're putting together. Harrison's writing a lot of news articles now that he's out of graduate school. So be sure to check those out as well. The Cortisol Bus on sale right now. Really, really great product. That's a staple of mine that I usually take all the time. It really helps to reduce stress, reduce anxiety, keep you in a more focused mental state, I should say, but still relaxed at the same time. That's on sale for over 20% off right now. So be sure to check that out on the website at healthmasters.com. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for the support. Also, too, be sure to check out the organic hemp CBD oil. We have back in stock. I mentioned that last week. Great product, great results. Really, really get some great feedback from that. So be sure to check that product out, too, on the front page, healthmasters.com. You guys be safe. Stay prepped. I'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.